Isn't it wonderful to know that we've got a Lord that will take us by the hand?
Amen.
And will walk with us wherever we walk. I want you to listen to these words. This is the first weekend in Lent. I know many of you were here on Wednesday night for our Ash Wednesday service. It was nice to be able to have an Ash Wednesday service after not having one for a number of years because of COVID. That has been a tradition of mine for I don't know how many years to attend an Ash Wednesday service somewhere. To remember that I am small, I've come from dust, and I will return to dust. But in that whole process, God will walk with me and guide me and help me. On this first Sunday of Lent, we want to look at the life of Jesus. We want to look at what happened to him. So I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. Right before this story, at the end of chapter 3 in Matthew, Jesus is baptized. And as he comes up out of the waters, he hears from heaven, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Imagine that moment. Imagine coming up out of the waters and hearing a voice from heaven say, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then the very next verse. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. God's design. And the Holy Spirit leads and guides him to that place. Now, I hope that kind of makes you ask a question. Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus just hear, "You are my Son, and in you I am well pleased"? And now the Holy Spirit leads him out into the wilderness. And Jesus fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. Not an easy thing. Led there by the Spirit so that Satan could tempt him. That is God's design. That was not an accident. 40 days and 40 nights he fasted. And Satan comes to him and tempts him in three different ways. Let me give you just a little theological thing here. When we sin, it is necessary for us to come and confess those sins and repent of those sins and turn closer to God. Temptation is not sin. Scripture tells us that Jesus never sinned. Temptation is not sin. And all of us will have temptations. It happens. One of my commitments for this Lenten season, or actually I'll tell you both of my commitments so you can keep me accountable. How's that? The first a commitment I made was to get back to Hope Packs on Wednesday nights and help them pack that food for kids for the weekends. If you don't know about Hope Packs, Hope Packs is packs that is sacks of food that are given to every kid that parents allow it in the school system in both this county and Bland County. Every kid in every school can have one. It is basically a day and a half of food so that kids can have food for the weekends, because there's a lot of people in our community that are what they call food insecure. To give you an idea of how big this project is, and if you'd like to help out, it's always at 5 o'clock on Wednesday nights, right there at the end of the building close to Main Street at Open Door Cafe. You're welcome to come and you're welcome to help. And don't worry, you'll fall right in place. It's not a hard thing to do. But within 45 minutes, 972 food packs are packed for children in all of the schools. 972. And I'm going to say, and Guy and Linda, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to say there's probably about 15 to 20 pieces of things in each one of those bags. Absolutely incredible. So that's one of my Lenten commitments, is that I'm going to get back to doing that. It's a simple, it's an easy thing. Every Wednesday night at 5 o'clock, if you want to help, Mike Pugh would love to see anybody show up and help, that's for sure. There's churches and other organizations that sign up for different weeks, but if you just show up on your own, I will guarantee you'll be put to work for 45 minutes. If nothing else, walk in circles around tables filling bags. Because all you got to do is walk down and put one thing in the bag when you hit one thing. And put one thing in the bag, hand it to the ladies, go back around the other end, take another set of bags and do the same thing again. A very easy project. My second commitment for Lent. Traditionally during Lent, people do three things. They make a deeper commitment to prayer. They do something about almsgiving, about giving to the community, giving to other people, and that's my idea of getting back to Hope Packs and doing that. And the third thing that people do during Lent is fast from something. It doesn't have to be food, okay? You can fast from watching TV. You can fast from any activity. And the idea of when you fast is to use that time to grow closer to God. It's not just to deny yourself of something, but use that to grow closer to God. So my commitment, and I encourage you to keep me accountable to this, because this one's going to be hard for me. I'm only going to have 3 meals a day, not 4. Okay? You laugh, but traditionally for years and decades, I've had 4 meals a day. Okay? And when I'm running quite a bit, which I'm not doing right now, but I'm trying to get back to, when I'm running quite a bit, 4 meals a day is more than needed, because I use those calories up pretty quick. And if you ever want to eat a whole lot of carbohydrates, all you got to do is run, because runners need lots of carbohydrates. So I eat lots of carbohydrates, but my commitment for Lent is 3 meals a day instead of 4. I didn't hear that. Jerry, for those of you who didn't hear it, Jerry said no potato chips. Deanne doesn't buy potato chips for us to have them at home, because as far as I'm concerned, any kind of chip only comes in a 1-serving bag. I can't understand why she keeps buying 1-serving bags. So I've told her, don't buy them. If she don't buy them, I can't eat them. So watch me when we have potato chips here on Wednesday nights. Yeah. Amen, right, Alan? I'll go more than once to get me some potato chips. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be like Jesus and fast for 40 days and 40 nights. I know, he was God, and that makes it much more doable. But you know what? He was human, just as we're human. And it would have been just as difficult for him. And Satan comes to him, and you see the 3 temptations are about physical need, testing God's care, and gaining prestige. The 3 temptations are about physical need, testing God's care, and gaining prestige. 40 days and 40 nights of not eating, and Satan looks at him and says, "See this stone? If you're the Son of God, you can make it bread." Could he? He took a little boy's sack lunch and made food for over 5,000 people. I'm pretty sure that stone could turn into a loaf of bread. I have no doubts in my mind. And what does Jesus say? "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Those of you that have been in Principles of Faith know that I've been challenging you in direction with this, and we talked about it on Wednesday night, and I challenge you there too. Are you eating your spiritual food that you need to live every day? Can I give you a commitment to make, if you're willing to? Don't eat any spiritual food, or don't eat any physical food, unless you eat spiritual food first. If man does not live just by physical food, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, are you eating the spiritual food that you need to grow spiritually? Are you eating your spiritual food? And Jesus says to Satan, that is more important than eating physical food. I know, it's getting close to lunchtime. Lunchtime's pretty important right now, isn't it? Especially if I keep going on. Lunchtime gets more and more important, doesn't it?
Amen.
But are you eating your spiritual food? The second temptation is about testing God's care. And Satan says to him, hey, throw yourself down. God will take care of you. Scripture says so. And Jesus says, that's not the right attitude. It's not about testing God's care. It's about knowing that God does care. It's about knowing that God is there to help and to guide. Does God love me? Does God care for me? Yes. Can I go and stand out in the middle of the road and all cars will stop because God cares for me? Most likely not. It's not about testing God's care. And Satan says, oh, you can do it. It's not about that. The third one is about gaining prestige. We've always heard the jokes about, I sold my soul to the devil so I could have this. And some people do. Some people actually do that to gain prestige. And Satan comes to Jesus and says, if you will just bow down to me, Satan, I'll give you everything you can see. And Jesus says, it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Here's two facts you need to know. Satan even quotes scripture with a twisted interpretation to tempt Jesus. A twisted interpretation. He says, for it is written, and this is from Psalm 91, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. What does it mean to you that Satan can quote scripture? Can you? If Satan were to quote scripture to you, would you be able to tell that it was quoted wrong? Jesus was able to. And he corrected him. And he said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The second fact that I want you to know from this passage is that for each temptation, Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy to fight against Satan. Jesus uses the book of Deuteronomy to fight the temptations. For those of you that don't know, that's the book we're studying on Wednesday night, chapter by chapter. And if you weren't here a few weeks ago when I did chapter 6, I want to repeat something that may challenge you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through about 7, or down to verse 4 to 9, to me, is the most important scripture in all of the Bible. It starts this way. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And sometimes we add to that, with all your strength. And it goes on to say that we should have God's word in our heart, and we should repeat it everywhere we go, and we should teach it to our children, and we should post it on our doorpost and our gates. Why do I say that's the most important scripture of all the Bible? Because they came to Jesus and they asked him, Lord, what's the most important commandment? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Jesus even tells people that is the most important. Because he says, if you can do that, then you keep all of Scripture. If you can do that, you keep all the commands of Scripture. The book of Deuteronomy is important. Those of you that know me well know that I don't like to call it the Old Testament. I like to call it the Hebrew Bible. Because it's not old. We need it. It's not that we have a New Testament that surpasses the old. We need both of them. And Jesus even says that time and time again. Jesus quotes from Scripture to fight against Satan. Now, I asked you a previous question. If Satan were to use Scripture wrong and quote it to you, would you know that? Could you tell? And if Satan comes to you and tempts you with something, can you use Scripture to fight against Satan? I'm a Baptist through and through. Well, sometimes I'm Pentecostal holiness, I think, Jerry tells me. Some of my United Methodist friends tell me I'm United Methodist. I've got a Catholic friend in Richmond that loves my Catholic side. But I did ask him one day. He's a deacon in one of the churches in Richmond. And I asked him one day, I said, Charles, you think I could be Catholic? He said, oh, no. I said, why not? He says, because you don't feel guilty enough about what you've done in your past. But I can tell you this. Charles is a guy that's about this tall. I learned a great deal about Jesus Christ from Charles. He was part of the spiritual director's school that I went to for 2 years. And I admire Charles. And I love everything that he taught me. But could you use Scripture if Satan came to you? Would you know if Satan quoted it wrong? You see, we should know the Scriptures well enough to use it when temptations happen. We should know the Scriptures well enough to use it when temptations happen. Do you know the Scriptures? Do you use the Scriptures daily? Do you eat from the Scriptures? Because Jesus says, not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If someone, whether it be Satan or someone else, quotes Scripture wrong, can you tell? Folks, if you want to get past temptations, I'm going to tell you, you need to know Scriptures. Now, let me give you a little piece, because I know some of you will go, well, Pastor, this is wonderful things that you're saying, but you've been to seminary. They gave you all the answers in seminary. No, they didn't. No, they did not. They showed me how to find the answers. That's what they showed me. I don't have all the answers. You can come to me and bring me questions that I don't have answers for. But if you'll give me some time to search the Scriptures, I might be able to find something that could be helpful for you if I don't know it as soon as you come. Little by little by little, I have studied the Scriptures. Over the course of 40 years, I have many people come to me and tell me, the Scriptures are hard. If you don't spend time in them, they will always be difficult. Always. But here's the promise, I think, that I can make to you. If you'll take 5, 10, or even 15 minutes every day and spend time in the Scriptures, every day, spend time in the Scriptures, it will come together. You will come to know them more and more. I can't think of a reason why I wouldn't spend time in the Scriptures every day. And that's the only way I've learned them. Little by little, spending time just with this word. That way, when somebody uses it wrong, I can hear it. And I know where to turn to my Bible to say that's not right. And when Satan comes to tempt me about things, about 9 o'clock tonight when I'm looking for my fourth meal of the day, that's when fourth meals of the day happen, in case you didn't know that. Okay? It's at 9 o'clock. Between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. When Satan comes to me tonight and says, you know, just a bowl of popcorn's okay. No, Satan, I made a commitment to try to gather a little bit deeper understanding of what it meant that Jesus Christ suffered for me. That's why I'm doing it. Not just because I want to lose some weight, which I want to. It's a little bit easier on the knees, about 10 or 15 pounds lighter than I am when I run. So yeah, I do want to do it, but I'm doing it so I can understand. Jesus Christ suffered for me so that I could live. Jesus Christ suffered through these temptations so I could live. Can I not do the same for Jesus? In some small way, can I not do the same? When temptation comes for you, how will you use Scripture to turn away from it? When temptation comes for you, how will you use Scripture to turn away from it? We can see in this passage it was incredibly valuable for Jesus to chase away Satan and the temptations. Because look at what happened in verse 11. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. How will you use Scripture when temptation comes? Let's pray. Lord, this is a good passage for us to look at. It's a good passage for us to consider. Because, Lord, there's temptations that happen every day for us. And although there's nothing wrong with the temptations, it's how we respond to them. Whether we fall and step into sin, or whether we turn away from them and come closer to you. Lord, help us to know our Scriptures well enough that when the temptation comes, we know where to turn. And we know how to turn to you. That the devil may flee from us and leave us alone, and that we may be attended to by your heavenly messengers, guiding us ever deeper in the spiritual life. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.